been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. Well, just
like
I said at the top of the show, we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Do we have to? Have to talk about this game? Do we have to talk about this ending? Oh,
what ending, Brandon? We won. It's just a dream.
Oh,
come on, man.
This isn't a dream. This is a nightmare. Where's Freddy Krueger at? Where's Paul Krueger at? That's what this feels like.
This would be a nightmare fitting for Edgar Allan Poe to write about.
That's right. Well, Josh, he's joining me to talk about the way this ended. What a season. The regular season, the Ravens went undefeated from, October through December, racked up so many players of the month, player of the week, broke so many records, got home field advantage, and it was all for nothing. All for nothing. The Ravens have nothing to show for it right now. 13 guys in the Pro Bowl, and they have – that's what they're going to be doing is the Pro Bowl. The Ravens come out in the postseason. They have one game. They don't have a lead the entire time. Josh, what happened? I don't know even where to begin. People at work, when I came in on Monday, they're like, what happened? And I said, I don't know. I don't know what happened. I don't know who this team was. So do you know what happened on Saturday?
No, man. I'm still searching for answers. It's really a bitter ending to, like you said, such a great season. First and foremost, when you just capping off when you said, like, oh, they got home field advantage, the Titans are showing that home field advantage. What about it? Because obviously they're the sixth seed. They've been playing away from their home since the playoffs, and they've already advanced to the AFC title game. Who would have thought about that? And it's happened before. The Packers, who are in the NFC Championship, pulled that off in Super Bowl 45 against the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Packers with a six seed won all road playoff games en route to a Super Bowl title. So it's happened before. I don't want to go as far as, you know, crowning anybody, but no one expected this run. You would think, obviously on paper and just with the body of work, what the Ravens have done, they were the absolute juggernaut. They were that, like, this year's Patriots form, where it's like, no, there's no way they can lose, right? And as I shared to, you know, everybody that obviously I've come in contact with, Brandon, this shows you how hard it is to actually win it in the NFL, no matter how great your season was. The 2007 Patriots were two games better. They were undefeated at 16-0, won their first two playoff games, and could not cap it off in the Super Bowl championship. So obviously we won 12 straight. We couldn't win it. We went 3 months of undefeated football. You're right. I really, when me and you talk about this and asking each other, I really don't know. We're going to find out Friday because Harbaugh gets held to the fire. His press conference is this Friday at 11 a.m. Be sure to tune in. We're going to get everything. I'm sure the media is ready with Spitfire questions and obviously fans want to know. I don't even think if we actually got an answer. I really don't think we know. This just was, you're right. This was not the same team that we saw for the last 3 months of football, and they were dominating. I mean, I don't know where to start.
Well, let's give credit to Tennessee. Let's give credit where credit is due. We've always talked about a team not facing Lamar before, not being prepared for him. You don't know what he's going to do. These guys shut Lamar down. They had a fantastic defense against Lamar. They forced him when he was running. They forced him to not go down the field, to go across the field. They took away his tight ends, and it definitely showed the flaw in the Ravens' offense of no wide receivers. So Lamar was kind of stuck out there on his own. So they shut him down. I mean, you got to give credit to the Tennessee defense. They figured out the offense and were able to capitalize on it.
Absolutely, man. They were able to capitalize on everything that the Ravens were doing wrong. If you look at it, the Titans actually played like how the Ravens did. They kind of gave the Ravens a taste of their medicine, right? Is, you know, when the Ravens force turnovers, they cash them in and touchdowns, and they pound you, they get out early, and you can't recover. And, you know, you can't really fault Tennessee for doing that, right? They did what, you know, good teams are supposed to do in the playoffs or in the regular season, for that matter. When a team turns the ball over, you make a pay on the scoreboard and bury them. I mean, the Ravens, if you don't even count the fourth down conversions, we can certainly break that down. They had three turnovers, and the Titans scored on all three of them, and they did definitely turn one of the fourth down conversions into a touchdown right off the bat. So, you know, you cannot make those mistakes. From the get-go, I didn't say this in the stands, man. I didn't say it out loud, but my gut was right. When the Ravens drove, okay, and you got to have hope, right? Because, again, when the interception happened, the one that tipped off the hands of Mark Andrews. By the way, he's got to catch the ball. You can't fault Lamar for that. He put it there. But it was 0-0. But when the Titans went down and cashed that in, I actually had a feeling that was ball game. And the reason why is because I look at the aftermath, man. In the playoffs, I feel like momentum is more valuable. In taking notes, you know, post this game, right? And what I really wanted to say, and that's what I feel. I feel like the feel of the game and momentum are more important than, you know, play calling are more important than, you know, points or anything. I mean, obviously, you have more points than the team to win, right? But to me, it was a big momentum swinger, and you gave the Titans hope. Like, okay, you know, all right, let's go down and put them. And the start of the game, you thought it was going to be in the Ravens' favor and stop them because they got all the way down the goal line. It was second and goal. And I forget who came off unblocked. It was a blur, but I think somebody came unblocked off the line and sacked Tannehill, and it was like big loss, right? So it's third down and goal from like, what, the 15, I think, Brandon? Mm-hmm. And he threw the fade route touchdown that obviously was a questionable touchdown of that from what I hear on social media. Because obviously during a game, when there's a call like that, I go right to the Twitterverse and kind of like gauge like what's going on. And a lot of the media that cover the Ravens with those check marks and all that next to their name, they're like, nah, that's got to be overturned. I don't think he got in. And then when the call stood, you had like everybody saying like, yeah, there's not enough to overturn it. Then you everybody, half of them were like, no, that's not a touchdown. So it was like, so I went right there and I was feeling confident that that would be overturned, hold him to three. It was a touchdown. And then it kept pouring on. The Ravens stalled out of midfield on a questionable fourth down call. And the very next play, Titans had that killer instinct. They threw it right down the seam. Marlon Humphrey got beat, and it was a touchdown. For a new, you look up the scoreboard, and I had a sick feeling. I'm like, is it really 14-0? Like, before we can blink, right? So, looking at everything they did right in the regular season in 1 3-hour football game or 1 60-minute football game, however you want to slice it and dice it, they did everything wrong. And in the playoffs, you have to be on top. Like, the Ravens guy, they were basically, I mean, they didn't have to be perfect in order to get to this point. They had to be, right? But they were perfect for 3 months. And for one game, you had to basically, or even 3-game stretch, if you wanted to win the Super Bowl, you had to almost kind of duplicate that, or at least, you know, get up there a little bit. And to me, I'm taking a detox. First and foremost, you know, I record every home game I'm at, right? So, mm-hmm. And if I'm at a away game, I do the same thing. So I always like to get a different vantage point, obviously. I'm going to ask you, you watched it on TV. Were Lamar's throws a little high and off? Because I had a feeling that looked the case on Saturday night. What was it like to you seeing it on TV? Did you see I mean, and they zoomed in on him. Did he seem out of the ordinary? Did the whole team not have the swagger? What was going on there?
He was trying to toot too much. It seemed like he wasn't focused on the play at hand, and that he was like looking at the clock going, all right, if I throw it this way, I'll get 10 extra seconds on the clock, and then we can do this to get the end zone. Instead of just going, I got to get into the end zone. Let's get as many yards as I can right now. It seemed like he was putting the entire team on his back. He was trying to get there all on his own. And he seemed frazzled. He seemed a little out of touch. He seemed, you were worried about sitting him that last week, that he was going to have 3 weeks off, that was going to do something to his game and he was going to get a little rusty. I don't know if he was rusty, but he definitely felt like he had something to prove, and he felt the world on his shoulders, and he wanted to do everything himself. He wanted to get it all done. And unfortunately, it kind of, the way it happened. He's a rookie quarterback. I mean, second year, if you want to say that, but he's very young. He's 23, and he's kind of got the whole world telling him how good he's going to be and how he's going to be in the Super Bowl. And he definitely wasn't as sharp as he was in the regular season. But I think Lamar is, he'll make it to the Super Bowl one day. And I think this was just kind of like a learning experience for him this year of that, you know, you can do everything right through December, but come January, it's a brand new season. I think he's kind of figured that out at this point.
Someone actually tweeted something funny, and I thought it was, again, however you want to deal with the loss, whether you want to just laugh at it, you want to make jokes, but I thought this was kind of funny. Speaking of December, like you said, you're a good all regular season once January hits. Someone actually mentioned couple Lamar's regular season with January Joe, and there you go. We'll never lose we'll always win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's true.
Because remember, that's how Joe Flacco was. Remember, his onus was, you know, he never had a great regular season statistically, right? Mm-hmm. But once he got in January, the dude was laser focused. It was like, that's why he coined the phrase, his nickname, January Joe. It was like, oh, if we just get in, he'll take over and just go in this. And it happened in 2012 where he went in this same playoff run, 11 touchdowns, 0 picks, and then you never seen that again. But it's like when it's just you get there, and I feel like it's coming, like you said. He's going to get to the Super Bowl, let alone win one. I feel like, you remember how that five-year stretch was from 2008 to 2012, right?
Right.
Even though that there was playoff wins in there. You know, Flacco's rookie year, he went to the title game and lost. So he was 2-1 in the playoffs. Then the next year, he went to the playoffs again. And they won at least one game, right? Here, we're getting the opposite, that we've gotten two straight division titles for under Lamar's tenure. Obviously, Joe Flacco started the journey in 2018. We were 4-5, and then we know that Lamar took over, led us to the division title, lost the playoff game. This year, obviously, what we did led us to the division title, number one seed, home field, and then lost the game. But I feel like it's the opposite. Instead of winning one or winning two and then losing, we're getting there, but we're at least we're there. You know, I get it. Everybody's going to complain. We want to win. We had everything set up. We were Super Bowl. We went from pretty much a long shot to, as the year went on, it was like we're Super Bowl favorites. And going into the playoffs before any game was played, wild card games included, Brandon, our team, the Baltimore Ravens, were a 42% chance to make it to the Super Bowl, the highest of all the 12 teams that made it. So even the pundits were all, even Vegas, we had the best odds. So it all lined up, right? And a lot of people, I don't look at this mantra, right? Everybody's like, well, we do good, better when we're underdogs. I don't think a team does better when they're underdogs or the favorites, you know, no matter what. The fact of the matter is, in the NFL, the Ravens, and I know, I think my buddy Dave actually tweeted it. He was like, don't give me a 1 or 2 seed. I went to wild card every time, you know, because obviously, and track record show, and I don't know if you realize this, Brandon, but I kind of leveled with a Patriots fan saying, listen, when the Patriots get the wild card, they don't make it. And when they get the 1 or 2 seed, they make it to Super Bowl, let alone win it. When the Ravens are the 1 or 2 seed, obviously they were the 1 for the first time this year. They were 2 seed twice. They don't make it. When they're a wild card, obviously their both Super Bowl wins have come off of wild card appearances, and they started in the wild card round. So not, history is what it is. I don't put anything to that. Obviously, what you want to do is you do want to work to the number 1 and 2 seed, because it does give you, number 1, the shortest road. And if you have one of the best home field advantages, which I feel like the Ravens do, they didn't use it this time. You know, the 14-2 record speaks for itself. They were 7-1 on the road, 7-1 at home. But fact remains is, you can't win when you turn a ball over. Brandon, I know a lot of the yards were empty, meaning garbage time, you know, when they were trying to come back. But if you look at the stat sheet, the Ravens outgained them 230 yards. The Titans had 300 yards total. The Ravens had 530. The Ravens, I believe, dominated time possession. They won that battle. They won a lot of things. Obviously, they outpassed them. Lamar himself, just in passing yards, had more passing yards than the entire total yards of the Titans team. Titans had 300. Lamar threw for 345, almost rushed for that many. As far as, you know, between him and his rushing yards, 145, you know, he was it. And I don't put it on him. It was a multitude of things. You're right. You might say he looked frazzled. He looked lost. But the dude had, at the end of the day, I don't care if they're garbage time or real time or what, the dude still had 500 yards of NFL, 500 of NFL football yards. And that's what it comes down to. It's not all on his shoulders. Seth Roberts dropped a would-be probably a good gainer, if not a touchdown pass up the seam. Mark Andrews had interceptions go off his hands. Yes, the fumble's on Lamar, so that turnover is credited to him. Obviously, the interceptions go against him. But if you look at how they were made and what happened, but again, when the Ravens digged themselves a hole and got out of their element, I don't know what those play calls were on fourth down. Nothing looked crisp. Nothing looked confident. Like, even on that one fourth down play, he looked hesitant. Like, he got the ball. It wasn't like – and then you look at Tannehill's sneak, right, when he snuck it in. It was – he snapped it, and he went right up the middle. And it's like Lamar, he got it, and it was like he almost, like, stopped in slow motion in the backfield looking for a hole, and the Titans swallowed him up. And then the other fourth down play, it's just like – I remember the Ravens calling a fourth and five, and they threw it to Hayden Hurst in the flat for a first down. You remember, I think it was fourth and two or fourth and three. I think it was fourth and two in Seattle. You know, they called a run, but Lamar, like, literally, they had the gap. He took off for the end zone. Like, I don't know. I attribute this to a Greg Roman, and I don't know if this is Greg Roman being distracted with the head coaching vacancy that he was interviewed for. Obviously, he didn't get it, by the way. It's no secret. All head coaching vacancies are taken. We are retaining our coordinators on offense and defense. But the fact remains is I felt like this was shades of the Chiefs game. I don't know if you saw that, man, but the way it was going, right? We got in a hole, got away from what was working. Again, you can say Lamar LaFrazza. I don't know. I have to rewatch the game. But to me, it goes on play calling and obviously putting in your team in the best position to win. I felt like it was a bad call. It was basically the worst game play calling wise since the Chiefs game, I thought. Derrick Henry wasn't really a problem until the second half. They contained him for the most part, 50 yards in the first half, but then he had that one big run, it was over. But the Titans, and they had the trick play. They took it to us. They were more physical, and I think that was what it was mainly. The Ravens were the bullied. Ravens were the bully for the whole season. Now they got bullied, and I feel like they got manhandled on the line. I think when I've watched some highlights and some of the film that I've actually seen, I don't know what you saw on live TV, but to me, it looked like that they just got handled at the line. They couldn't get the run game going, and they got away from it, right? Remember Gus Edwards ran the ball down there, 19 yards, and you never heard from them again. So they got away from what was working, and it's just a recipe for disaster. I don't know where to start. I mean, I don't even know if there's a right or wrong answer. I can't wait to hear what Harbaugh's got to say Friday. But, dude, this whole body of work, and Judon was vocal about it, right? He's like, none of this matters unless we go out and win the Super Bowl, right? So at the end of the day, there's one champion. But I want to turn to Ty here and ask you something here. It's kind of like a funny thing that happened to me this weekend. But like you said, right, the pre-show before we started recording, you asked, like, how are you doing? Did you recover yet? I don't know how many times you were asked, are you okay? Are you good? But if I can count the text messages and the people that at work asked me, am I okay? Are you good? You would think I lost my family this weekend or something. Like, I'm like, I smile and I'm like, I'm fine. They thought I was like going to come into work, like kicking stuff and slamming chairs. And I joked and said, well, I had Sunday for that. But, and my boss actually asked me on Friday, he goes, if they were to lose, how many days off do you need? And I said, well, game's on Saturday night. If they were to lose, I got Sunday. I'll be fine by Monday. So, and even if the game was Sunday, I still, but I don't know about you, but I feel like I probably would have taken it. I mean, I took it hard, right? We all did, because we had high expectations, high hopes for this team, and we wanted it that bad. But to me, if they had gotten to the next round and lost to the title game, I would have been that much more upset, because I was like, you're right there. I'm fine. I've recovered.
I think what has everybody so up in arms and everything, like, people did ask me if what happened. They didn't ask me if I was all right or whatever, but they did say, you know, what happened? What do you think's going on? I think it's because they just came out and they were completely and totally outplayed. I mean, this was a dominant team in the regular season, a team, a Ravens team we have not seen before. So to see them kind of come out and do that, it kind of proves that there aren't a lot of dual hockey football fans out here in Baltimore, because it's like you guys have never watched the Capitals in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I mean, this is called getting halocked. I've been here before, where a team is expected to win it all and then comes up short in the opening round or in their first game. So I'll go back to what I said on Saturday on my Facebook.
And they finally broke through, didn't they?
They finally broke through. I always had faith.
They're consistently, again, you're right, different sport, but Capitals, they're consistently in the playoffs. I mean, how many years in a row has it been, right? And they're finally there, and then they get it. They get past the first round, then they get to the Eastern Conference Final, then they win it all. So I think the Ravens are coming. They're setting us up. They're young, like you said. They're getting back. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but it was fresh in my mind. I didn't want to lose that thought. But the Capitals, you're right. They're there, and they broke through.
Look, it took Ovechkin, 8 years as captain to get to the Stanley Cup final and win. I mean, he couldn't get out of the second round for 8 years. Lamar is very talented. He's a good leader. And look what he was able to do in the regular season with the Ravens. This is just the beginning for this kid. He's not going anywhere. So I definitely see the Ravens going forward. I think this is all a really good learning experience, especially for a lot of these young players. I'll go back to what I wrote on my Facebook page on Saturday. I said, outcoached, outplayed. The Ravens had the focus on Miami instead of tonight's game. They were too relaxed heading into this game. They thought it was just going to be a pushover, but they had an amazing regular season. But it all leads to this. Good experience for all the rookies. The fight doesn't end in December. So we have a lot of people that are experiencing the playoffs for the first time. This isn't over. You know, the team is coming back in September. They'll do it all again, and they'll know this time around it takes more than one guy. It takes more, you got to come in focused every single game. Anything could happen in the NFL. We all know that. I mean, I hate that the team is done. I hate that they've cleaned out their lockers, but this is a learning experience. The team's coming back next year. It's going to look different. Absolutely. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Yeah, I mean, I'm very upset that this team lost. I was so excited to see this town, just drenched in purple more than it already was. I mean, we had big truss on a giant salt mound as you enter the 95 tunnel.
That was pretty incredible. I saw it coming into the stadium. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's
really... The picture didn't turn out from the car, but I saw it. It was pretty awesome. Speaking of that, too, like you said, like with the tradition, like you said, with the purple caravans and the playoff pancakes, and like you were, I know, like you said, like you love all that fanfare and the build up, right? I know that's what you love to do, and the car stenciling and that's all the playoff events, right?
Right.
And what I saw, and this is why I'm going to detox, and I'm going to get to watch the game in full after I can let it go. Because I think once I start watching it, the highlights again, I'm going to get mad. So I'm going to look at, I might wait till after Super Bowl when the champion's crowned and it's over. But two things I was proud of. I was proud of a little bit, but I took a picture and I saved it. It was off of WNST. They took a picture of the tailgate lot, and it was massive. It was full. It was lot H where I tailgate. And the tailgate I was at was packed. It was at Jimmy's. It was a great time. Can't discount the fact that we had a blast, right? But where it comes into play is I just kept hearing how great tailgating was that game. And then going into the game, this was weird, okay? As good as the Ravens were doing all season and winning all these games, and obviously the home games were great. I mean, the Patriots, apart from the the beginning of the playoff game until they started losing, I had the most fun at the game other than the night I was at the Patriots game where I was like, everybody was in their seat. It was loud. It was full throat. We throttled him. It was a party. But all the home games, I'm going to share this with you. I don't know if I have yet. When I go into the stadium during the home games, it was utterly quiet for a football crowd. You would think it's an Orioles game. Like, you hear people talking, all that, but no one was screaming. No one was doing the oh chant. No one was, you know, like, yeah, let's go. It was really quiet. You got into the stadium through that gate on Saturday night before the game started. It was packed already an hour before the game started. We got in the stadium a little after 7 o'clock. Kickoff was at 8:15, right? Everybody's yelling, Big Trust, screaming, hollering, high-fiving, waving their flag as they got the Every Decibel Counts flag for that night, every fan did. You know, people, I'm in line for the escalator, and people are yelling and screaming like, whoa, and then obviously with me and my Batman get up, and everybody's like high-fiving, and it was ruckus. I'm like, this crowd is charged up. Then we get into the stadium, and right before the pregame intros, I look around. I don't even see that many purple seats. I mean, you can when the people are standing up, right? But there was a lot of people, and even my buddy Rich said, he goes, I haven't seen this stadium this full in years. I think it was, he said, this is the first time he's seen it that full since the Ray Lewis Last Dance playoff game. It was packed to the gills, and I'm not kidding you, and this is why I really want to watch it on TV. I'm going to ask you this. How loud was it on that first series? Because I dreamed this. I said, they're going to start on defense, which they did. And I said, and we're going to get real crazy and ruckus, and it's going to rock the thing off its foundation. The board showed it. It was near 120 decibels in that place on that first drive. Was it loud on TV?
Oh, absolutely.
Like I was pumped up because I was like, this is what I live for. When I love going to games, Brandon, this is what I love about defense and stand up. I love it when you come in here, night game, day game, I don't care what time of day it is, whatever. I loved it. I miss the days where I don't care. It don't need to be a playoff atmosphere. I miss the days where it was a regular season game, no matter if it was the worst team in football coming into town or the best team in football. Everybody was in their seat, and on that first defensive series, everybody's standing up, and they let and just like the Kyler Murray said, they gave us hell. You know, we give them hell. It's like we rain it down on them. Like, no, we let them know. And it was dubbed that Baltimore, or back in the day, Baltimore Stadium was the largest outdoor insane asylum because the fans get crazy and loud and ruckus, and it sounded like an indoor stadium, right? So that's, you know, and Seattle's known for that, right? The 12th man, they're getting boisterous and loud. And I just want to touch on that moment. There was a lot of bad in this game and obviously the result, but leading up to the game, I was watching like some of the old playoff games. And it came, and the reason why this came up, because obviously the Seahawks and Packers played each other on Sunday night to cap off divisional weekend. If you remember how crazy that 2016 NFC title game was, Brandon, and comparing the volume, the Seahawks are losing, and this is why I had hope too, right? The Seahawks were losing 16-0 in the third quarter of that game, and they came back. And that epic comeback was so epic that you heard the crowd just getting louder and louder with each score. And just the roar, and I'm like, and that's what I felt like. I felt charged up, you know. Not that I was already, but before the game got out of hand, it was loud. And I will say that one thing, that the season that we've had and the atmosphere it created, I'm hoping that the Ravens continue that with their play, because I don't. Whoever's listening, who's at the game, I thank each and every one of you for being there and being participating and not worried about tailgating until well into the first quarter and getting there. And everybody was in there paying attention. And that's what the true home field advantage was about. It obviously didn't cash in on the end because the Ravens didn't hold up their end of the bargain. But that's what creates it. If we want some of the best home field advantage that we can offer, let's give it to them. But I just wanted to say that in this part of the show, that with all the doom and gloom around the game and the season and disappointing ending, that's something I have to say about the Ravens flock and Ravens Nation as a whole, that we came out on Saturday night and we meant business as far as fans were concerned. It was, I mean, we even had, and it, it, we even had, Rolf Van Dam, he came over, the guy that does the RAVNS chant, he came over and he sectioned at the upper level and he was leading the chant during the pregame. That's how it was getting ridiculously ruckus. So it just had that feel and you just had that vibe that we were going all the way. And I took it a little hard at first when they lost, only because I shared this with a coworker, I'll share it with you, because I wanted it that bad. Why? Personally, for me, because we finally got home field. I have season tickets. This is something you live for. We had a realistic shot of hosting. Obviously, when one game and we host an AFC title game, the first time in franchise history here, which would have been ridiculous. That would have put you one win away. For me personally, I would have went to both games. My dad would have had the ticket to go and enjoy it with him. For first time in my life, I had the financial capability to afford to go to the Super Bowl. So if the Ravens would have been, I would have went there. So for me, it hit a little bit harder because I was like, I wanted it personally that much more. So I can kind of feel like how the players were coming out and pressing and kind of overlooked it. Maybe we all did because even my buddy Mike said at the end of the game on the drive home, he goes, next time we're not making any plans until it's official, because we were doing that too, right? We're looking at trips and hotels and how do we get down there and what package do we want to do? And I'm like, and Lamar actually said it before the game, Brandon, we're not the hunted because we didn't do anything yet. And we're making plans and they didn't even win two games. You had to win two games to get there and they couldn't even win one. So it's hard. And I feel like, I mean, there's nothing wrong with getting ahead of the game, right? But we all get excited. I mean, the team won well straight, but I want your thoughts on this, the shift gears on the record and the season that we had. And I don't know if we'll fit everything in one show because there is a lot to reflect on this season. I mean, they went 14-2. We did a lot of record, right? But, were you confident? Because some people are thinking like I was too cocky as a fan. I'm like, but how could you not feel as a Ravens fan that way, whether it is confidence or cockiness? Because I'm like, we, as far as the Ravens are concerned, handled every challenge thrown at them this year. Well, Nick Chubb ran all over you. Well, they didn't week 16. They shut him down and they had redemption against the Browns and beat them by more. They trounced the Rams on Monday Night Football, who was a Super Bowl participant less than a year ago. They manhandled the defending champions on Sunday Night Football at home. They went Seattle, which me and you obviously predicted a loss on the show, and I don't know if they can do it. They came out by 16 points. You know, they just kept winning. They went up to a Bengals game, who obviously was one of the worst teams of football this year, who only won by 6 here in Baltimore, and they went up there and just beat the train out of them, like 59-10. It was just like, you know, everything they did this year. So it's like rolling into playoffs, why not? They won 12 straight. Apart from the 16-0 Patriots, no team has won more games in a row in the regular season. So I'm like, I think the Pittsburgh was second. I think they lost the first game in 2001 and went 15 straight. And I know I have to look at some of the records there. So I think the Ravens are like second or third in that list with record rise. But besides the point, Brandon, how could you not feel so confident going into playoffs as a fan because of what they did this year? You had the MVP and you had the record to prove it. Why not us? It's our year.
I absolutely thought that this was going to be a Super Bowl run. I was extremely confident with what this team had done. I mean, besides Lamar Jackson, look at everybody else that's on this team. You got Justin Tucker. You've got Mark Andrews, who's playing fantastic. You've got Mark Ingram, who's out here doing amazing things, who was supposed to be all healthy. Brandon Williams, Michael Pierce. I mean, you've got all these players. Jimmy Smith, Marlon Humphrey. You've got all these fantastic players out there. Look how many all-stars there were, or pro bowlers. I mean, Ronnie Stanley doing his thing. You got Marshall Yanda. You got Sam Cook, who you really haven't seen that much, but still he's a fantastic player on this team. This looked like it was gonna be a team ready to make a run. Absolutely. You got John Harbaugh, who's leading the charge here. Yeah, I was confident. I didn't go down and get my car spray painted on that Friday before the game because I said, you know what? I want to get this done closer to the Super Bowl. I figured they were going to do this more. I was incredibly confident with this, what I've seen from this team. It's a real bummer that it ends with that one game and the way that it ended. I mean, that one game was just absolutely terrible. But The only good thing I can say is there always is next year, and hopefully these guys are coming out with some experience in the postseason. It's the only thing I can think of. But what do you think? I mean, Mark Ingram and Mark Andrews and Ingram both were extremely important to Lamar's success this year, and they both came up a little banged up. And we had Ingram who had his calf taped up, and they kind of abandoned the run after he couldn't continue in the game. So is that another reason why the offense kind of stumbled here? I mean, yes, the Titans kind of figured it out, but taking away both of those weapons, I mean, that's a huge blow to the offense.
Yeah, man. I think coupled with them pressing too much, and obviously maybe it was rest versus rust, I think another underlying factor was Mark Ingram's injury. I think with him not being 100%, they really put the team behind, because obviously not only does it go through Lamar, but Mark Ingram was an integral part of that success too as well. Not to discount what Gus Edwards can do, but when obviously Ingram was out there and starting and apparently went on the sideline to get checked out and had the wrap on his calf, it definitely was a blow to the Ravens there. And I felt like, yeah, he was active, ready to go, and he had 20 days off, and that was a lot to even try to get the calf right in that amount of time. I felt like, now hindsight, you should have probably sat him this game, let a healthy Gus Edwards go to work. Listen, there's no tomorrow if you lose, right? Obviously, right, their season ending, they're cleaning out their lockers. What's benching Mark Ingram to win the game, then go to a title game? Or what's putting him on the bench for 2 weeks and then, hey, why don't you come back if we can make it to Miami, right? Like, you know, I don't know. And there's a combination of all that. But, you know, it was not good when we saw him go down with that injury in Cleveland. I thought the season ending, I wasn't, you know, sure what was, and we know it was the calf. But yeah, I think him hurt was definitely a huge blow to the Ravens' plans as far as offensive efficiency and really being confident out there. And it trickled down. And we've been here before, right? You know, Lamar throwing a pick early, we get it. You know, they were down 7-0, we get it. They were down 7-0 early, remember the Bengals game? They took the opening kickoff down, and then we overcame that and won. You know, remember the Niners? They went right down the field on us, converted a fourth down long pass play, and it was 7-0 Niners here, and we overcame that. And just looking how – and remember the Cleveland game. We were down early in that game, almost didn't score a point until 2 minutes to go in the second quarter, and then that's all she wrote. We had two quick strikes, and we got it. So this team has been down before, but the way they were down this one, it was different. The Titans were more physical, and the Titans showed they just wanted it more, and they came in here and did it well. I guess they were not to be taken lightly, right? Because they did knock off to the Patriots, and you can easily say, well, the Ravens did the same thing. But not only that, but they did in January when it mattered. And you look at the differences, because the Ravens rolled into the playoffs with a 12-game winning streak. The Patriots kind of limped in, and then they lost. So I don't know if because a couple of people were online like, well, a couple losses could have humbled this team. Maybe they would have learned something. I don't think so, because the Patriots lost in Week 17 to lose the home field, and then they lost the following week. So the Ravens won 12 in a row and then lost. Same thing. So one and done. So I don't believe in that. But one thing I wanted to share with you too is, like, how crazy does things change? You remember we were like, when the Pittsburgh game came up, it was like, well, we can't let them get in. But it's like, but you look at it, they were such a worse opponent than the Titans, and they kind of wanted the Titans to stay out of it. And a lot of people were worried about the Titans getting in. Rightfully so, they made it this far. But what's it say about how the landscape of things changing? The Steelers are 8-5 with 3 weeks left. They lose to the Jets. They lose to the Bills, and then they lose to us, which means even if they were to win, they had the Titans to lose, and they weren't going to lose because the Texans sit their starters because they had everything locked up and improved position. So see the domino effects of everything, and then with that happening, and then also coupled with the Dolphins beating the Patriots and the Patriots not winning that game, it allowed the Patriots to play in that game instead of the Chiefs. It would have been Chiefs versus Titans. The Chiefs actually beat the Titans actually beat the Chiefs, so obviously instead of playing in the AFC title game against each other, which they are this weekend, they would have played in the wildcard game and the Patriots would have had the two seeds. So what if the Chiefs would have beat them there? see how things change quickly. So it's almost like, you know, it's almost like it was meant to happen, right? You know, it all fell in line for the Tennessee Titans, and they're hitting the right stride, and, you know, kudos to them. You know, at this point, we can certainly dissect it any way we want, Brandon, but it's definitely a huge disappointment, man, for all the records set. But I want to say this, man. One playoff game does not change the fact that they'd have an incredible year. They sending 12 Pro Bowlers, now 13. Whether they all play is a different story, but we had 12 initially nominated for the Pro Bowl. Most in franchise history. Lamar set the rushing record for the quarterback. We set the rushing record in total for a team in the NFL. The record had been broken since 1978. They set a record for points. They set, obviously, a franchise record for wins in a row, for total wins, 14-2. Number first seed in franchise history. Lamar had broke the record that stood since 1996 of Vinny Testaverde, franchise record for passing touchdowns in 36. And obviously, Lamar's going to cap it off an MVP season. And for all those ill-informed people on social media, I'm going to share this right now. Because I heard people right after the loss were all getting emotional, taking it right there. Lamar don't deserve MVP, blah, blah. MVP is actually an award for the regular season. And go research on how many NFL MVPs did not win the title that year. There's a lot of them. Cam Newton was one of them. Lost to the Broncos in Super Bowl 50. You know, it's one of them. I mean, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Tom Brady. I mean, they all have been there. And, Adrian Peterson was the NFL MVP. And you just can't discount it. I mean, it sucks. It's disappointing. But for all the focus that is on this playoff game that we lost, there's no one can take away what happened. I mean, yeah, I get it. The 14 record don't matter because they didn't do anything with it. You know, but it's going to be there in history. And you just can't underline that Lamar is so young. That was his first full year. Full season front to back. He put it together. He proved all the pundits wrong. He had three games of five touchdowns, passes. He had three. He had two perfect games, two perfect passer rating games. So there's a lot there. You know, him and Mark Ingram had over 1,000 yards. Mark Ingram had a great year in touchdowns and great year rushing. You know, there's a lot to be had, and the future is bright for this team. You know, we acquired Marcus Peters. Now we signed it to an extension. You know, we're finding pieces there. And the future's bright, my friend. It's not all doom and gloom. But I want to share with you this. Remember the 2011? I don't want to recall the game because obviously it's another loss. But you remember Ray's speech after the 2011 loss to the Patriots?
Mm-hmm.
That changed my perspective. And that's why I'm okay right now. You know, I don't know if you knew me prior, because I knew our first year recording was a Super Bowl year. It was right after that offseason. We met that offseason.
That's obviously right, yeah.
So it was right after all that went down. It was actually in the spring of that year that we met. So before, I used to throw tantrums. I used to break stuff. This team really got to me. You know, and obviously I was young, right? But when the Ravens would lose, it would ruin my week. You know, Monday, Tuesday, I would mope around. Can't believe it. It would affect me. It would affect my mood. It would affect my thinking. It would affect what I chose to do that week, whether I wanted to stay home and don't talk. That's how it affected me. Ever since I heard that speech from Ray, I did a quick 180. I turned around and I said, he's right. He's absolutely right. This is just a stinking football game. There's more to life than just this. You know, and coupled with a few comments about how, again, they're millionaires. They're still getting their money. Why are you crying? You know, it doesn't affect you. And again, you're right. Yeah, it sucks they lost, but I got to go to work Monday and I got a job. I come home and I got a dog. I got a house. Like, life's still good, Brandon. Yeah, my football team lost. Yeah, it sucks. But you know what? I made light of it. I said, I just saved $7,000 by my team choking in the playoffs. That's the way I look at it. I mean, you got to make light of it. Again, it sucks. But, and I'm not saying if you choose to deal with it differently and you want to grieve, that's fine. We all deal with it differently, and football affects us differently. It brings us all together. It's emotional. It's an emotional game. But I choose to be more mature about it since Ray's words and his words rang true. There's more to life than just a game. You got to go body and make somebody smile outside because there's too much pain going on, you know. And like Ray said, there's only one team that's going to feel good at the end of the year. One. 32 teams and there's one champion. 12 make it to the postseason, there's one. It's a one-game playoff each week. And if you're not perfect in that 3 or 4 week span, in that month of football, the Ravens were perfect for 3 months and they had to be perfect for one more month and they couldn't do it. It's that much harder, but then it means the glory is going to be that much greater because they're going to take steps. Okay, you know, they had two playoff losses at home. But then I look at this, you know, they're getting one step further. They snuck in, got the wild card, lost that one. Got the one seed, got the division round. That means, hey, maybe it's, I'm not saying next is win the division round, losing a title game, and then keep going. But you're right. As you said in the beginning of the show, the future is bright. We have a lot to look up and be proud about. 2020, I mean, look at 2020, man. Our whole offense should be coming back with a few exceptions and a few new faces and moves. But the Ravens are going to have the most cap space they're going to have in the last, who knows if I can remember, like 15, 20 years. They're going to have 45, 50, near probably 60 million in cap space to make moves, sign players. This is an all-excited season. I don't want to turn this around and be all excited, but I am excited personally, Brandon. If I'm in minority, I'm fine with it because the future is bright, and like we alluded to with the Capitals, and all that, at least they're there. They're not – I mean, we could be the Browns, right, have all these aspirations and then crash. The Ravens did the total opposite. I didn't expect them to do anything this year because we didn't know what Lamar was going to do after the playoff loss last year and the wild card and all that. We didn't know, and we came out gangbusters, and who knew after a 2-2 start with the Browns' chances 40-25, who knew we were going to rip off 12 straight and not lose a single game until the playoffs? Like, no one predicted that. So I leave it at this. We don't know what the future holds with this team, and I took it week-to-week this year. I'm like, okay, they were 3-2, 4-2. Then you fast forward and they're 7-2, 8-2. I'm like, they might not lose another game, 9-2. You took it and appreciated it week-to-week, but we don't know what might not next year brings, but I enjoy the ride. It ended abruptly. It ended the way we didn't want because we all wanted to be partying at South Beach in February from Baltimore. Trust me, we all had plans. A lot of people knew we were going. We all wanted to be there and get Lamar's first ring. But you know why I wanted this so bad for Lamar and everybody else? If you look at our last two Super Bowls, Ray Lewis won it in his hometown. Mm-hmm. Ed Reed won it in his hometown along with Jacoby. And then it started in Miami with Hollywood and Lamar. Obviously, I'm from Broward County, Pompano Beach, and this year's Super Bowl would have ended there. But who knows what next year brings, because next year's is not in Miami, but it's still in Florida, Brandon. Next year's Super Bowl is in Tampa, so that might be an omen. Don't know. But like you said, Lamar spoke it into existence when he said it in draft night, and his message has been consistent. People are upset about the team talking about Super Bowl and all that. Well, then you shouldn't be liking Lamar then or liking this team because Lamar said at draft night when he got drafted, you're going to get a Super Bowl out of me. Believe that. And he believes it. And I think this is another obstacle, another bump in the road to help him learn. He's young. He's not 30-year-old quarterback who can't get there in his career. Not to compare him, right? Obviously, you sort of can. Not Hall of Fame status, right? But, you know, he's an NFL MVP. You know, until it's official, right? It's unofficial at this point, but it's all but a lock. The writers came out and said today he was MVP, but let's get there. But Peyton Manning and all them and all those kind of quarterbacks, they lost their first three playoff games. I mean, it took Peyton Manning a good 2, 3, 4 years before he finally won his first, before he finally got there. Then he broke through, and then he won one, and then he went a second one until obviously he retired. It's hard to get there. I mean, the Patriots, that shows you how great they are because they've been there so long. But besides the point, I say it all by just saying it's disappointing, but I'm holding out for 2020. There's hope. This team's young. I still probably going to have answers until I hear from Harbaugh on Friday, and I'm probably still going to have questions that need to be answered well after that. But I don't know about you, man, but I definitely had fun covering them this year, as I always do. This it didn't end the way we wanted to in the Super Bowl championship, but how much fun was it to cover this winning streak in this team? I mean, what they were doing week to week, like it's almost like they would beat a team so bad. It's like, what do you cover? They were near, and when Lamar threw a perfect pass rating, it's like, what do you do? They didn't do anything wrong. It was like a celebration show. So it's just been an interesting and fun year, hasn't it?
Yeah, apart, I mean, that's been the big thing with Lamar as the quarterback, is that everybody says it. We've said it a zillion times. It's fun again. It's fun to watch what he's going to do. It's fun to figure out what this guy is going to do next. It's been a blast covering the team this year. I wish we were going all the way to Miami, but unfortunately we're not. But thanks to this team, I mean, really, this has been one of the only shows where we've kind of had to start and talk about it being a bummer. So, I mean, 14 shows out of the year, and they're all kind of good shows and fun to talk about. Like, can you believe what we just saw in a good way? I mean, that's pretty great. But you brought up 2020 next year. This is a young team. I do want to bring up the Ravens have a ton of free agents to sign if they can. And we saw what happened last year. They really let a lot of people go. But just listen to this list of free agents that are going to be unrestricted, can go anywhere, can stay or do whatever they want. You've got Matt Judon, Jimmy Smith, Brandon Carr, Patrick Owusu, Michael Pierce, Josh Bynes, Seth Roberts, Anthony Levine, Pernell McPhee. Who else we have? We have Chris Moore. And then as a restricted free agent, we have Matt Skura. So, I mean, Gus Edwards, I think we have exclusive rights, but he's an exclusive rights free agent. But that is a ton of talent that we are going to be missing on the defense. I mean, Anthony Levine Sr., he's been on this team forever. But I would have to assume of that list, Matt Judon, he might be a little too expensive, but Peanut Owusu, I think he's the guy you're probably going to want to go after, maybe him and Michael Pierce. What do you think?
Yeah, man, I think with this offseason presents a lot of good challenges for us to try to retain a lot of people with money, but I guess with the big budget, you don't want to go big spending, right? And the Ravens have always been frugal with that. We have Eric DaCosta now, who's been the mastermind of putting this team together, along with Ozzy of the later years. And my gut instincts already coming out. I'm going to let you know how I feel right now with the 2020 makeup of this team. These are my early predictions and gut feelings and what I feel like should happen or what I think might happen. I think they franchise Judon. I think they try to get a long-term deal done. I think at the time they franchise him, get him under that, and then they probably get it done besides the fact after all wound on the franchise tag. But I feel like the tag will be used if a long-term deal cannot be reached with Judon. I think and I'm not going as far as NFL draft because I have to research the draft class, and obviously that's coming in the offseason. But just looking at the free agents, right, there's a crop of free agents coming out this year that's going to be good. I will get to those at a later time. I don't have access to them, but I know one name is mentioned that he's in the AFC North right now. And AJ Green, I don't know how I feel about that one because, number one, it's in their division. Two, he's oft injured, so I don't know if throwing a few bucks at an oft injured receiver on the back end of his career. I think we need a young physical or even somebody in his prime, a physical receiver to complement Hollywood with the speed. The only thing I think of right now is like a DK Metcalf of the Seahawks, like how he was just a big physical specimen out there catching balls, especially when he's shown against the Eagles what he can do, just going up and getting it. Like the Ravens need that like Bolden type player. So and two players I want to mention that in the offseason look out for that could be in purple and black. Remember Jamal Williams, a safety from the Jets?
Mm-hmm.
He put on his Twitter account just this past week he would love to play with Marcus Peters. So that could be something cryptic to look into. And he was linked to the Ravens at the kind of that trade deadline, sort of. Look out for Jaguar Yannick Ngakoue. He is from this area. He could be a Raven this year coming up in 2020. So I don't know what the future holds, but I look for those two players. One of the two of the two, I don't know. But if you really want to get this team better, especially on the defensive side of the football, there's two players that would absolutely help out in the ranks. And having a Jamal Williams with a Earl Thomas, a Marlon Humphrey, it would bode well. And another thing is, I don't see Jimmy Smith on this team anymore. It remains to be seen, because now we got Marcus Peters. And I think with Marcus Peters and Humphrey next in line, I think Jimmy's on his way out. But those are my kind of foreseeable things here I think the Ravens might do. But the cap space is going to be fun to work with, because we're going to have some good money. And with the year that Lamar had, that does dispel the notion that no player, because everybody was like, well, no players want to come here with Lamar, especially after a playoff game when he couldn't throw. Now this year, leading the league in touchdown pass, getting MVP, there's players that are going to want to play with him.
And so, yeah, I remember Lamar.
The line's going to be long for trying to get in here. I tell you that.
I think they're going to spend a lot of money on defense. I mean, look at Lamar right now.
Because the offense is set, right?
Yeah, his cap hit is only $2.5 million.
He's on his rookie deal, yeah.
Yeah, he's on his rookie deal, and I think he's got 3 years left. So they're going to spend a lot of money on defense, strengthen up the defense.
You know what someone asked me? They asked me, why doesn't Lamar hold out like a Melvin Gordon did or a Zeke did? You know what I said? It's different. First off, his character. He's not going to do it. But you just definitely don't see that at the Ravens, right? You just don't see it. But there's the fear of, like, that kind of player, if he were like that. Remember, Zeke held out for the money because he felt like he was owed it, you know? Because that's what happens, right? These rookies outplay their rookie deals, and they ball out. But see, Joe Flacco gambled on himself. He goes, you know what? They couldn't get a long-term deal done. He goes, no, I'm going to gamble on myself. He just goes out and wins the Super Bowl when it's finally out of his contract, and then they had to pay him. So the Ravens had no choice. You're not going to let him walk. So it's interesting. The cap, it's $2.5 million. But to answer the questions about, you know, if they ever come up like, oh, is Lamar going to hold that? No, he's not. He's going to play out his deal, just like everybody else will. But, hey, but he's in line for – and obviously – you want to keep Lamar as a franchise quarterback as long as you can, right, until his career rides out. So he'll be next in line in 3 or 4 years. But for 2020, we have a lot of cash, man, and that does help because we get rid of Suggs and Flacco off the books. Those two big, massive contracts are gone. Lamar being so inexpensive because he's his rookie deal, and that's why I feel excited, because if we can try to nab that Super Bowl window while his rookie deal's here, that's much more refreshing. And I think that's why it was really frustrating a lot this year. You know, I mean, not to say that this is different from any year we don't make it, but because you really want to try to cash in on him playing so well on that rookie deal, so you don't have to throw a lot of cash his way and really strap the team, you know, and because it's the NFL, right? You only get so much to spend. But dude, I'm excited with all the cash that we have. This is going to be a fun offseason for at least the foreseeable future. I feel like this is going to be – we're going to have more fun than this one than most that we've had in this recent. You're going to see a lot of updates coming in the next months. And the draft, we get right now the 28th pick. I think 20th or 9th, it's late 20s. So I have to look at the draft aftermath. But, yeah, no, we get pick 28. So we are the last to lose on Saturday. I think we get pick number 28. So, but it's all said and done. We'll see what happens.
All right, Josh. Well, I mean, even though it's been a sad show, I think we've kind of, we may have helped some people, you know, picked them up a little bit, but have we covered everything for this final call of the 2019-2020 season?
Oh man, do I have to go there? I don't want to stop. I'm going to have to give it out there. Quote the Raven, nevermore. Let's put a cap on this one.
All right. So if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
All right, go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. It's really important to go like us now, because shows will become much more sporadic now that the Ravens season is over. You know, maybe we'll do a Super Bowl show. Maybe if somebody re-signs, we'll do a show. You got to make sure you're following us for the draft or the schedule release for next year. You never know when a show is going to drop, so make sure you go over to our Facebook page and like us. Right over there. Now, we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast and Google Play Music. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review and let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. Still, I am still a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you so much for a great ride, man. And it's good to know that with all the wins and losses that we cover, hey, we're never going to have a bad season here at The Call, right?
That's right.
Me and you cover it well, and there's never a bitter end to that. The other thing it does end is we do put a cap on the seasons as we do cover them, but with every season that comes to a close, it means there's a new offseason and a fresh start. And now we got to count down to training camp in July. It's going to be a long road. But like me and Brandon just covered it from top to bottom. We have a lot of questions. We know it's all over the place covering the game. I mean, it was a blur. You know, going, driving, and you felt good. You know, the Ravens, you know, stopping them on defense. You're getting the ball, doing what we do, just like any normal game, going across midfield. They're getting the first downs. They're getting it. We're going to get at least three, maybe seven. And then, whoopsie-doo, interception off the hands. Okay. And then, okay, you're down 7-0. All right, it's just a score. We have all game. And then, for you know it, you look up, it's 14-0, and the team can't get it going. And they finally got 6 points, and you're like, man. And you're like, okay. And then obviously the score doubled, went from 14 to 6 to 28 to 12 in one half. You just felt like in anything in this game, I felt confident coming out of halftime. You're only down 8, 14 to 6, getting the ball, start the half, go down narrow. It's like, hey, you can kick a field goal, it's 5. You get a touchdown, go for 2. It's a tie game, it's a brand new game. And then we're all square at 14. And then everything's right again, and this team couldn't do it. And we can talk for another hour together on why it didn't work or why it should have worked. But the fact remains is we don't know. We just saw a team just have a bad performance. They didn't show up. They came out of tunnel all fired up, and once the game started, the Titans were that much better. They were that much crisper, and they're that much sharper. And they did what any football team does when a team like the Ravens makes mistakes. They make them pay, and they send them home. And we're not playing next week because of that. But all in all, it's been a weird playoffs, obviously with the exit of the Patriots in the first round, wild card, the Saints in the first round. Who'd have thought that? This 2-6 seeds move on. 1-6 seed moves on to the title game. One doesn't. The Vikings don't. It happens. And the Ravens are the only one left outside looking in. I mean, as far as divisional weekend's concerned, all the home teams won except Baltimore. All the 2s and 1s won except Baltimore. It would have been chalk going into the divisional round, going from the division round to the title game, so I should say it's not. It's a 1-2 versus a 2-6. It's not how it was drawn up, but just like anything, that's why you make the playoffs. And Brandon, I'm going to close the show without this. You know what I feel? You know what I feel this could be like? Remember the great takedown of the number one Virginia Cavaliers? Remember UNBC Retrievers?
Right.
A 16 finally beating a 1. What did Virginia do the following year?
You tell me.
They won it all. They won the whole tournament. They were number one again and won it all. Again, we get it. Seeds are just seeds. 1 through 6 doesn't matter. You still got to play the games. The 6 has won the Super Bowl. 1's won the Super Bowl and everywhere in between. You got to finish. I mean, as we know, the craziness in the NFL, the Texans were up 24-0 going into the second quarter and lost the football game by 20 points. They were up 24, lose by 20. It's been a weird playoffs, Brandon. You know, it's been incredible, fun playoffs. Besides the Ravens' loss, I have much more to say about that. But closing out the show, I want to ask you, the remainder of the teams outside the Ravens losing. We have Niners, Packers, Chiefs, and Titans. What is your Super Bowl matchup, and who do you like to see win it all?
I see the Chiefs, and I see the Packers.
That's my Super Bowl pick, too.
Which means neither of them are probably going to make it now, because that's who I picked.
They both pick them, because that's who I pick now.
And I see Green Bay winning the Super Bowl.
I'm going opposite. I see the Chiefs taking it. I like Mahomes, but you know why? There's another reason. I like to see Suggs get number two.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot.
Yep. I like the, see, people forget. Yeah. I like to see Suggs get number two and go out. And obviously, the first one means a lot more than that one. There's that much more special, but it's just, it's bittersweet, but I wouldn't mind it. But, hey, it's going to be fun either way. Just, it sucks that the Ravens are a part of it. And it's what it is. But it's okay, Ravens Nation. You know, we might be mad, but it don't mean we don't care, right? Because we love our Ravens around here, win, lose, or no matter what happens. We're Ravens through and through. Brandon, it's been a ride. Thank you so much. We'll be communicating if there's any breaking news or any shows that we feel like we should be doing out here. We're going to be putting them out for you. You know, the call will be back in a short break here. And you'll probably see me pop up from time to time. I might do a video or two, maybe Super Bowl reaction. You know, who makes it out? It's a conference weekend. Super Bowl predictions, maybe. Have some fun with that. Not the Ravens involved. It's not as fun. We get it. But just like Brandon always says, we cover everything and anything Baltimore Ravens, but why stop there? The NFL doesn't stop just because the Ravens lost. So we're still going to be doing our football thing on the call because we love football. We love our Ravens football first and foremost. All season's pending. Free agency starts in March. Draft's in April with the schedule release. So just to give you some things to look forward to. Once the New Year League starts after the Super Bowl is done, and we'll see what's what. Ravens got some cash, as we talked about. We got some players that we want to keep, got some players we want to move around, and maybe someone we need to add. And maybe 2020 will be the year. Who knows? But coming off with a disappointing end to it all, nothing left to say but Ravens. Ravens Nation, Ravens flock. Let's pick our heads up, because life doesn't stop living just because our team didn't make it. With that being said, let's go in this offseason, and how about it? Let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.